On Monday night, the Trump administration announced that the president will tap David Malpass as the next leader of the World Bank. As with many of Trump's appointees, this nomination is generating its fair share of controversy, due in large part to Malpass's previous criticisms of the global institution. Josh Zumbrunn is an economics reporter for The Wall Street Journal, and he's been following the nomination. Josh, how's it going?
It's going great. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So before we dig into Malpass, remind us, what is the World Bank's role on the global stage? Can you explain it to us?
The World Bank's a really interesting institution. It was first set up by the Allies at the end of World War II, and its purpose is to take kind of money from the world's wealthier countries, and it puts them into loans that go to some of the world's poorer and developing countries. You know, so it funds projects, you know, roads, rails, infrastructure projects, ports, things like that. It can also do health projects, public education projects. Anytime a government needs financing for these kinds of basic economic development type of projects, the World Bank is kind of the biggest institution that it can turn to.
And who is David Malpass?
David Malpass, who the Trump administration kind of announced on Wednesday they're putting forward for this job, is the current undersecretary at the Treasury for International Affairs. That means he's the top person on international issues at the Treasury Department here in the U.S. He was an advisor to Trump's campaign. He was on his kind of economic advisory committee, and he's been at the Treasury since very early on in the administration.
God, that seems like a job that would put you in place to get a position like this, but there are folks coming out against his nomination. Can you explain some of their concerns about him if he were to lead the World Bank?
Yeah, that's right. On the one hand, he's been working on issues like this for the past 2 years. He's gotten to know a lot of the relevant people who, you know, have kind of the same function that he does in other countries, people who are decision makers when their countries vote at the World Bank. But he's also been in a position where he's been the guy who's had to make discuss the administration's policy for the World Bank, which has sometimes been very critical. So a lot of the world is kind of taking note that one of the institution's biggest critics is the person who's been picked to lead it.
What have his criticisms of the World Bank been?
Well, there have been a handful. One of them has been that the institution has continued to lend too much money to China. This has kind of gotten pulled into the overall tensions that the United States has with China. If you think back 20 years ago, China was still a much poorer country, and it made a lot of sense that you were, you know, working to help them develop rails and infrastructure projects and things of that nature.
Sure.
You know, you fast forward to today, it's a much richer country. And so he's raised the question of whether this is a country that still needs the support of the World Bank. He's criticized other things at the bank, too, you know, questioning their business model. The bank last year had to raise more money from its kind of donor countries around the world, and he was someone who was skeptical that they needed those funds. And he's criticized the level of salaries at the bank and just kind of a whole range of criticisms that have made a lot of people that work at the bank a little bit wary of his nomination.
So how are these appointments typically made? The U.S. gets to pick the president of the World Bank?
This is really interesting. There's no formal rule about this, but by tradition, the Americans have always put forward the candidate. So the way it works is all the countries that donate to the World Bank have voting power at the bank. The U.S. has the most voting power of any country. It has about 16%. So that's a lot, but it's not enough to automatically make every decision on its own. You know, the European Union, for example, if you put all the countries in the European Union together, they have about 26% of the vote. Mm-hmm. And so it's always been a tradition that the rest of the world has gone along with that the Americans put forward the candidate and everybody else around the world supports him. But that's why it's such an interesting moment right now. The U.S. has put forward someone who's been such a critic of this institution. And so there's kind of a question of whether or not the rest of the world is still going to feel compelled to go along with it. It's kind of a test of American leadership in a situation where they really need to, you know, convince allies. They can't necessarily just muscle their way through this.
Josh Zumbrunn is an economics reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Josh, thank you for your reporting.
Thanks so much for having me.